Last week, we started a series called Squeeze, weird word, but the idea is basically this, that it's not when we're rested and our bellies are full and that everything is going our way, bills are paid, everybody likes us, nobody's irritating us, you know, that we, our real character is revealed. It's the moments where we're squeezed by the big things and the little excessive things in life that we find out who we really are. Those moments where we're hungry and we're tired and we're annoyed and irritated, when we're experiencing heartache and loss, when we're craving something or somebody that doesn't belong to us or isn't good for us, it's in those moments that we find out who we are. We find out what's inside, like we're squeezed. Sometimes it can be those moments where you know the best thing would be to say something or to do something, to give something your best. But the easy thing to do is just to stay quiet, to keep your mouth shut, not say anything, not do anything. Just drag your feet, not do as good a job as you can do. It's in those moments when we have that kind of choice, when we're squeezed, and we find out what we're made of. And also, it's in these moments where we are squeezed, moments that we often find that they're also, often the most shaking in our lives. What comes out of us in those moments and what we do in those moments when we are squeezed. So those things shape our lives. Over the last week and this next few weeks, we're looking at people in the Bible and their lives, the moments where they were squeezed, what they do with that, and what we can learn from them. To find out more about the stuff that makes up who we are and so much shapes our lives, this thing called character. Some of you know that I was a business major in college, and one of the things that they figured out with business schools not too long ago is they were producing a lot of unethical people. Maybe one of the things that we can do to help this is that we're going to implement having a section of teaching on ethics in every one of our classes. So I think it was too little too late, by the time they get to college, people get to college, they're kind of decided who they're going to be a lot of ways, they're just not going to listen to the professors. And not that their professors are the best ethical teachers, I don't know. But we would, every class, whether it's economics or finance or marketing or whatever it was, they would have a little segment on ethics where we would discuss ethical situations. Like, you go on a business trip, your boss wants you to buy him a prostitute or her a prostitute. Do you do it? Maybe you even know, do you know their wife? Do you know their husband? If you don't do it, then you're likely going to lose your job. If you do it, you have all sorts of layers of pressure on and say, what do you do here? Do you lose a document when somebody wants you to lose a document? Do you fudge the numbers you can control? That might help you control an outcome for you or for your company. Do you fire or take advantage of an innocent employee for the greater good of the company? There you go. You're right on line. And exactly, for the most part, the students in these classes have very pragmatic answers and solutions for this stuff. Very pragmatic approach to ethics and the issues of character. Basically, the kind of storyline was this. The basic stance that it's nice to treat people well, and it's nice to do good and nice things when you can and when you want to. But in the real world, there are times that you just set that stuff aside and you do what needs to be done and do whatever the situation demands. The character and virtues and good and ethics is just something that you set aside based on the situation. And anyone who doesn't get this is kind of a chump. Anyone that doesn't get this is naive about how the real world works, and nobody's going to want them to be on their team. Because if you're not willing to do that for yourself, then you're certainly not going to be willing to do that for your other teammates, your company. So these were, business students perhaps are a certain kind of special when it comes to ethics, maybe. But I think a lot of us and a lot of people are actually more like that than what you might expect and what we would like to be, what we would hope for. A lot of us live our lives like character is something that's a nice thing, virtue is something that's a nice thing. But it can be set aside just whenever the situation demands. Especially if it'll help us manage better outcomes. We especially start doing this whenever we feel squeezed. After all, it doesn't always pay off, which is what it's all about, right? What's going to pay off? To treat people well. To be kind. To be committed. To be selfless. To be respectful. Sometimes it just isn't worth it to be honest. To do what's right. To be loyal. Maybe we think that in the real world, not everybody deserves our honesty. Not everybody deserves our loyalty. Not everybody deserves us to do what is right. Not all circumstances, not all situations deserve our respect, deserve our best effort. So there's times that, hey, they don't, or the situation doesn't deserve me working hard and giving my best. We have to be pragmatic and realistic about things like that. I think that's kind of a narrative that we've all heard. We've all seen the people around us, and we've all lived out from time to time. It's not just business students. The Bible has a different take on the real world. There's hundreds and hundreds of stories of real people's lives over thousands of years. And this is what the Bible says. The narratives just keep telling over and over again. But the ideals of character and virtue aren't naive, and they aren't just nice things. They aren't things to be laid aside and picked up just based on whatever the situation warrants at the moment. But the character is destiny. The character is destiny. The Bible tells us a very different story, and the people's lives that's recorded in the Bible tells us a very different story about the character. A very different story than what we tell ourselves when we're feeling squeezed and we want to justify what we are about to do or what we've just done. The story that the Bible tells us is this. In the long run, the reason why some people win and some people lose is character. And character is that. In the long run, the big long run sometimes, the reason why some people win and some people lose is that character is that. You could go almost any place in the Bible to see this, but a really, really great person is this person, Joseph, that we read the scripture about. This is a guy that his life was just so full of real world experiences, stuff, like some ups and some downs, and the real world kind of down. Hardly any of us are ever going to experience the stuff like he experienced. He was squeezed over and over again in big, big ways. His life keeps repeating this timeless truth. His character is destiny. His character is destiny. Joseph was born in a dysfunctional family, which most people seem to mean they were. But his was a special kind of dysfunction. His dad had two wives, Rachel and Leah. Jacob's dad really loved Rachel in particular. And Leah had a lot of children. Rachel had a few. And Jacob didn't try to hide the fact that he loved Rachel the most. So you can imagine that caused some little rifts in the family. And since Jacob loved Rachel the most, Jacob loved Rachel's children, especially her oldest son, Joseph, the most. And Joseph's kind of a jerk. Not just kind of a jerk. He is. He flaunts it. You know, like, hey, Dad loves me more. He gives me special clothes. I'm going to wear it. I'm better than you. And let me tell you about my dreams, about how, you know, you all bow down to me. You're a younger brother, but I'm more than my dad's favorite. You know, so one day I'll rule over all of you. Just a snob, you know? So one day, Jacob sends Joseph out to go and check on his older brothers. Joseph's hanging out at the house, you know. If it was today, he'd be playing video games in the air conditioning or something like that, while his brothers are out in the field working. It's a agrarian shepherding family. The older brothers are all out, Leah's children, are all out watching the flocks. Jacob sends Joseph out to go and check them, and they see him in the distance, and they say, there's that brother that we hate. Probably introduce him to some best words there. We hate him, and we're going to kill him. So Joseph gets close, and they just throw him down the cistern, and they're so cold-hearted about it. Throw him down this pit, and they just eat lunch, and then they're like, we're going to finish lunch, and then we'll kill him, you know? They see some slave traders going by, and then they get an idea that, hey, we're going to make money off of this guy instead of just killing him. Dad's never going to know the difference. We'll never sell him again, but we'll get some money. So they sell him in slavery. But a really amazing thing happens. The Joseph that they throw down into this pit is not the same Joseph that comes up out of the pit. And the Bible doesn't tell us a whole lot about what happened in there, so we kind of have to fill some stuff in based on kind of our experiences of what can happen when we're down in a pit. And maybe for you, you hit a pit one time because of drugs, because of alcohol, or because of just relationship stuff, or whatever that moment was. Maybe there was a moment that opened your eyes and you saw that the words that you say and the actions that you take affect the people around you. But whatever brought about this kind of pit moment in your life, it may help you look up and see that the person that you've been is not the person you want to continue being. So Joseph came out of that pit, and what echoes through his life after this is that God was with him. So many times that is the place of pit where we have met God for so many of us. And that Joseph came up out of that pit. The rest of his life, the echo of his life, that Joseph, that God was with Joseph, and that Joseph became a man of character. He started living his life as if he had figured out that character is destiny. He gets sold into slavery by his brothers, taken to Egypt, sold in the slave markets there, and then read something out of the very beginning of Genesis 39. It's a crazy thing that the Bible says. Now Joseph was taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh. So an officer of the ruler of the largest and most powerful empire in the world at the time, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites, who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. He was in the house of the Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, that the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hands. So Joseph found favor and sight and attended him. He made him an overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From that time on, he made him an overseer in his house and over all that he had. The Bible just repeated itself. That was made. The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in his house and in the field. So he left all that he had into Joseph's charge. And with him there, he had no concern for anything but the food that he ate. Joseph was owned as property by somebody else. He was owned. And the Bible says, but the Lord was with Joseph. When we're owned by somebody else, when life does not seem to be going our way, it often does not feel like that God is with us. That God was with Joseph. That's not the kind of stories that we think of when we think of somebody that God is with them. But God was with Joseph. And Joseph was living his life like he had figured out the character of his destiny. And instead of saying, hey, I'm a slave. I'm going to get whatever I can. I'm going to drag my feet. Life isn't working out for me. I'm certainly not going to do my best for this God who owns me. I'll take whatever I can get. Joseph lived his life as a character was destined. he probably got up early and he worked late, and he did what was good, and he did what was right, and he treated people fairly, he acted honestly. He did his best, not because of his master, but because of who he was and who his God is. Because he believed and he figured out the character of his destiny. He didn't do it because he loved it. And when we do what's right, we want good things to happen to us. You heard what happened to Joseph. Things were going well, I guess, for somebody that's, but his wife, Potiphar's wife, noticed that Joseph was a good-looking young man, probably in his late teens, early 20s, and she wanted more than just a helpful man around the house. And so Joseph had two choices. We can make a pragmatic kind of evaluation here and think, you know, if I sleep with her, or if I don't sleep with her, if I reject her, she can cause all kinds of problems in my life. It's not really smart to scorn somebody that has power over you. So there's going to be trouble down there. It's the right thing to do, but it's likely going to lead to trouble. But if he goes ahead and sleeps with her, one, he gets to be sleeping with this woman that wants to have sex with him. You know, she's probably an attractive woman above regardless. But that can lead to some good things in his life. You know, she can do a lot of good things for him. And as long as no one knows, and as long as Potiphar doesn't find out, then things can go really well for him. And the alternative is that if he scorns her, it likely won't go well. But we don't see Joseph doing that sort of analysis, by looking for that pragmatic, kind of practical approach, weighing the pros and the cons. Joseph just says, how could I sin against the Lord, and how could I sin against your master who trusts me with everything in his household? And so he kept staying away from her. He kept fleeing from her. He did everything he could to stay away. But eventually, what was going to happen, happened. And she didn't like being scorned. Excusing her brave. And for doing the right thing, for being a man of integrity and being a man of character, he ends up in jail. An innocent and virtuous man ends up in jail. Goes from being betrayed in a pit, being a slave, being a head of the household slave, being in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph. And character is destiny. Then the Bible repeats the same thing again. Joseph is in prison, but the Lord was with Joseph. It doesn't seem like this is the kind of story where the Lord is with somebody. And Joseph continues to do what is right. He continues to be a man of integrity. He continues to give it his best, no matter what. To treat people well around him, regardless of what they or the situation deserve. And then eventually the wardens noticed him and said, and put him in charge of everything in the prison. Joseph's life had a number of other significant ups and downs. He helped other people in prison. One of them ended up getting out and just completely forgot about Joseph and the help that he gave him for a long time, probably years. While Joseph was still sitting in prison, being a man of integrity, a man of character, getting squeezed. I'm sure the demons came to haunt him, you know, that kind of whisper in our ear, what difference does this make? Joseph, your life is a mess. You're a slave. You're in prison. Why don't you look out for yourself? Better. Why are you working so hard for the good of others that don't deserve your effort? These people forgot about you. But one day, the Pharaoh of Egypt was having a rough day, and the servant that Joseph had helped out and had gotten out of prison remembered Joseph and told the king about Joseph. And Pharaoh called Joseph out of prison. In a short conversation that they had, just in a short conversation, Pharaoh made Joseph the second in command over all of Egypt. He was the second most powerful man in all of the world, just like that. Went from being in a pit, on the brink of death, being a slave, being in prison, all this for years, being the second most powerful person in the world. world, character, destiny. But Joseph couldn't know, he didn't know, how all of this stuff was going to end up. At any point along the way, it would have made sense for him to say, what difference does it make? I'm going to sleep in today. I'm going to take it easy. I'm going to drag my feet. Joseph did what was good and what was right because of who God was. He offered his best. Character, his destiny. Now, if you're listening at all and you've been thinking about what I'm saying, you probably have a problem with this. And that's fine, but it means you're listening and thinking about what I'm saying. Because maybe life has taught you, and actually caring for other people has taught you, that circumstances is destiny. That circumstances is destiny. That some people are dealt a better hand than others. Some people are born into projects, and some people are born into mansions. Some people are born in the favelas of Haiti, and some people are born in middle-class America. It's different. It's different. And so destiny is the circumstances of your life. Those things, the things that happen to you, where you're born, that is your destiny. Some people are born with incredible mental and physical abilities, and other people are born disabled, with limited intellect and limited physical abilities. Circumstances, destiny, that determines their life. And to say that character is destiny seems a little simplistic or maybe even a little harsh. Maybe a lot harsh. Put that weight and put that message on people's lives. But I want to tell you about when I first started noticing in the world around me that this was true, that character was destiny. I told this story before, but it's my story, it's worth repeating, so I'll do it again. I was at my college graduation. I looked down the row at the people that were graduating with me, and I saw this guy named Josh graduating with me that day. Josh was graduating with me that day, and he was leaving the next week to go and work for the company of his choice. A lot of people graduate from college and have no idea what they're doing after that, or what they're doing with their degree, or anything like that. But Josh knew. He had job offers from the two top companies that he wanted to work for, and he picked the one that he wanted. But Josh and his parents had been told when he was a little kid that Josh doesn't have the mental intellect to graduate from elementary school. You can't expect him to go to middle school. He's just not going to make it. He's not smart enough. But even from an early age, Josh was driven. He was full of character. And he wouldn't accept the pronouncements of these experts. And he had an incredible work ethic. And it wasn't just his work ethic. Josh did what, to the best of his ability, what was good and what was right, no matter what. When he graduated from elementary school, most of the time when I think of kids like graduating from elementary school, I think it's just silly. But like when Josh graduated from elementary school, his parents, his family celebrated his accomplishment. And they didn't expect him to go any further. When Josh graduated from middle school, his family celebrated his accomplishment and didn't expect him to go any further. When Josh graduated from high school, his family celebrated his accomplishment and didn't dream that he would go any further. But he applied to college and kept on going. The day that he graduated from college, his mom was beside herself with tears of joy and pride to watch her son graduate from college. Character is destiny. Josh's story teaches us that the cards that we are initially dealt don't have the final word on our life. The cards that we're dealt tell us where we start, but they don't tell us where we finish. Circumstances will affect your life. The they will shape what happens along the way. The character determines where you finish. Just as I'm sure that Joseph, even being an older man, second most powerful person in all of the world, could look back on his life, I'm sure, and wish that he could have avoided some of the hardships that he went through, some of the things that he had to endure. Just as I'm sure that Joseph would prefer to not have to bear the emotional and physical scars that was left on his soul and would have been left on his body from slavery and prison. Betrayal and all that we went through. And I'm sure that Josh would have preferred not have to struggle all through his life with the things that he had to struggle with. I'm sure Josh would have preferred to have been as smart as the other kids. I'm sure he would have loved to have spent his high school and college days playing frisbee out in the field with the other kids, smart kids, kids that weren't stupid like him. Instead of crying his eyes out in the tutoring room under fluorescent lights, because the stuff that makes sense to other people is just so hard to make sense of for him. He did that day after day after day, all through high school, all through college. Both Joseph and Josh would have preferred circumstances to be different. Life is often hard, and it's never fair. But character is destiny. Either for Joseph or for Josh, where the parts that they were dealt with, the circumstances of their life, for those things that had the greatest role in shaping their lives. It was the choices that they made about what they were going to do, who they were going to be. Character is destiny. It was their character that overcame the situation, that had the final word on where they were going to end up. And just like them, for you and for me, in the end, your life will not be defined of circumstances of your life, or where you were born, as much as your character. This character is this. So what sort of character is shaping yours? Will you do the right thing when no one's looking? Will you do the right thing even when it costs you something? When it's uncomfortable? When it hurts? Will you do the right thing even when you think that you can manage the outcomes, even when you think that you can benefit from doing the wrong thing, even when you think that you can benefit in some way that nobody else is going to be hurt or nobody's going to know? Will you do your best in whatever you were doing, regardless of the circumstances and regardless of who you were doing it for? But because he won't. Your guidance. Will you live your life as someone who's figured out the character of destiny?